When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through you? Well, we're giving them to you. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
High time we were gay. It's high time that we did some drinking, but in a strictly American way. It's no time for depressed long faces, no time to be blue.
It's high time that we jumped some traces
and gave the devil his due. Let joy be unrefined.
Da, da,
da. Let's start to get blind.
Da, da, da.
Start to feel high, have a real high time.
It's high time. Let the Yale de France introduce you all to transatlantic romance. You love the sanitariums, the theaters and solariums, the stewards and the waiters, the roomy elevators, the reading rooms, the writing rooms, and other more exciting rooms. But in particular, you are going to love the bar.
It's high time we filled up and started to spin.
It's high time to start drinking in the American way. What could the cast of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes be talking about? Well, of course, they're talking about Prohibition, that strange 13-year period in American history where the sale and manufacture of alcohol was prohibited. Hello, I'm Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM, WPPB, Peconic Public Broadcasting. Prohibition is very much in the news these days, or certainly in the entertainment world. We had a big, 142-hour Ken Burns documentary on Prohibition a few months ago. Boardwalk Empire, a favorite show of our engineer Kyle Lynch, is on HBO. And we have two musicals coming into New York in early May that celebrate the heyday and hoedowns and wonderful mixture of vice, sin, repression, and enjoyment that meant Prohibition. New York City Center's Encores is going to be doing a revival of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. That's a show we heard cut from the original cast album a few seconds ago, from May 9th to May 13th, and a new Gershwin portmanteau show of assembled Gershwin tunes, I should say, starring Matthew Broderick and Kelly O'Hara, called Nice Work If You Can Get It. It's all about rum runners during Prohibition, is coming into the Imperial Theater. So I thought it would be a good time to celebrate this idea. I guess you celebrate Prohibition in a speakeasy or in your bathtub drinking gin, but we can celebrate it a little more openly now. Let's go to a show the Gershwins wrote themselves with no help whatsoever in 1926 called O.K. O.K. had a book by Guy Bolton and Remsenberg's own P.G. Woodhouse, and it is about bootleggers and rum runners working out of Long Island. Of course, our program is based on the East End of Long Island, which was the site of many operations of illegal bootlegging during Prohibition. So here's the opening number. It was actually cut out of town in the 1920s, and it's been restored, thankfully, in a 1995 studio recording. Here's Bob Westenberg, Patrick Cassidy, and Adam Arkin giving you a really wonderful, synopsis of what Prohibition is all about in When Our Ship Comes Sailing In.
We stand watching the horizon, casting anxious, eager eyes on all the little ships as they go passing by.
How we're hoping, how we're yearning for a safe and sound returning. Are we soon to see our ship against the sky?
Anyone who's ever waited on a pier will appreciate our feeling here.
What a tender welcome we will give our friends as their journey ends. When our ship comes sailing in, we will shout our joy with a ship ahoy. Good or bad days will begin when we start unloading the ship.
Our guilty conscience we will try to smother.
We'll hail each prohibitionist a brother
and sell a dozen cases to his mother.
When our ship comes sailing in, full of pagan, pagan gin.
Just imagine our position, think of all the competition that we've got along the whole Atlantic shore.
From Southampton to Miami, coast patrols of Uncle Sammy on our business are declaring open war.
Would think that what we're doing was a crime, helping you to have a decent time.
Congressmen and senators kick up a fuss, then they buy from us. When our ship comes sailing in,
when our ship of dreams through the harbor seems,
our glad days will begin.
Mr. Volstead, pardon our sin.
Champagne in our cargo that will please ya.
Just give your girl a kiss and she will squeeze ya.
She needn't know we mixed it with magnesia.
When our ship comes sailing in, full of pagan.
Risk it's pain in us to tell of it.
The money that we get is not all velvet.
The cops take all our profits, that's the hell of it.
When our ship comes sailing in, full of Hagen, Hagen gin.
Now those jolly fellows referred to Mr. Volstead. Prohibition began, I would say it was a culmination of a decade-long movement for temperance in America in the 19-teens, and the Volstead Act was the congressional act that led to prohibition in 1919. Congressional amendment was passed in 1920, prohibiting, as I said, the sale and manufacture of alcohol. So that cast a pretty long shadow over people who like to enjoy their giggle water or their laughing juice. And the topical reviews of the time, of course, couldn't avoid Prohibition or its incipient enactment by Congress. So the Ziegfeld Follies of 1919, one of the finest editions, maybe the finest in my opinion, featured a partial score by Irving Berlin, A Pretty Girl is Like a Melody, tackled the idea of Prohibition head on. So here are two songs from the Ziegfeld Follies of 1919, sung by two of the best headliners, Burt Williams and Eddie Cantor. Burt Williams, of course, the famous African-American comedian singer, and Eddie Cantor, the famous Jewish-American comedian and singer. They were both very good friends on stage and off. But here they sing two separate songs about how the average American guy and gal is going to have to live their lives without that wonderful imbibement of distilled spirits. First, Burt Williams.
The mahogany is dusty. All the pipes are very rusty. And the good old-fashioned musty doesn't musty anymore. All the stuff got bummer and bummer from the middle of the summer. Now the bar is on the hummer and for rent is on the dough. How sad and still tonight by the old distillery. And how the cobwebs carp in the old machinery. But in the mountaintop, far from the eyes of cops, oh, how the moon shines on the moonshine so merrily. Oh, oh. Our misery doubles. Ain't one thing to use for bubbles, for to drive away your troubles. Now the tide has gone and went. Days and nights are getting bleaker, shivering for an old-time sneaker. Even water's getting weaker, about 0.1%. How sad and still tonight by the old distillery. And how the moaners moan at the lager breweries. So, mister, if you please, don't let nobody sneeze up where the moon shines on the moonshine so stillily, so stillily.
So I entered a liquor emporium, and sad to say, when I came out, all I had left of my $12 was a headache. I then met a beautiful girl. What a sweet damsel she was. And I smiled at her, and she smiled at me, and I said, very fresh-like, I said, where are you going, my pretty maid? And she said, no place in particular. So I said, would take a walk in the park. And she said, would. So that was all settled. We went to the park and sat on a bench. And, oh, Mama, she had such beautiful eyes. And she looked at me, and I looked at her. And then I realized that you don't need the wine to have a wonderful time while they still make those beautiful girls. Why should we care if the wine isn't there? We still have the sofa and the old Morris chair. And any sweet miss who knows the right way to kiss can set any brain in a whirl. Lots of people like a cordial after dessert, but give me something cordial that is wrapped in a skirt. So you don't need the wine to have a wonderful time while they still make those beautiful girls.
Who could sum it up better than Eddie Cantor, one of my favorite performers? You even heard him clapping a little bit if you listened carefully in that recording. I love that line, give me something cordial wrapped in a skirt. I don't know who wrote that song exactly. It certainly wasn't Berlin or the Gershwins, but whoever it was had a good way with a line. Of course, so did Eddie Cantor. Well, if you're trying to, if you find that you really do need wine or gin or scotch or something, doctor, to get through the day, where would you go back in the 1920s? You couldn't buy it, at least not legally. So you went to the famous speakeasies that we've seen in various movies or we've read about. On these nightclubs. And one place you went, if you lived in New York, is you went to Harlem. And maybe you went to Small's Paradise or to the Cotton Club, and where I think rules were a little more lax up in Harlem back in the 1920s. And you might have heard some wonderful music by Harold Arlen and Ted Kohler. Harold Arlen, one of our great show and movie composers, got his start at the Cotton Club. So we'll hear one of his songs, and then we'll move on to, I would say, the trio that sums up the Roaring Twenties even more than the Gershwins or Rodgers and Hart or Harold Arlen, and that's Brown, DeSilva, and Henderson. Brown, DeSilva, and Henderson were a trio that wrote utterly forgettable shows about golf, about the weekend, who knows, but they wrote great songs like Button Up Your Overcoat, Life is Just a Bowl of Cherries, and the song that may be a relief to people who have had bad alcohol the night before, You're the Cream in My Coffee. And then we'll move on to one of the more exciting songs of the late 1920s. But first, let's take the A train, because that's how you have to get up to Harlem, and we'll hear Hittin' the Bottle, sung by Jimmy Lunsford and written by Harold Arlen and Ted Kohler.
Then you find a level place, one floor to place that bottle. Next you start to toddle, keep watch on the bottle. Then you step around a bit, be careful not to hit that bottle. Whoa, just like a clown, start messing around. Keep going through town. Then you make a break and you wiggle like a snake that's hitting that bottle. It's easy to do, cause everybody hits the bottle. Thank you. 'Cause everybody except Jimmy hits the bottle.
Well, I know it, I've never been a raver, but when I speak of you, I rave a bit, it's true. I'm wild about you, I'm lost without you, you give my life its flavor. What sugar does for tea, that's what you do for me. You're the cream in my coffee, you're the salt in my stew. You will always be my necessity, I'd be lost without you. You're the starch in my collar, you're the lace in my shoe. Always be my necessity, I'd be lost without you. Most girls tell love tales, and each phrase dovetails. You've heard each known way, this way is my own way. You're the sail of my love boat, you're the captain and crew. My necessity, I'd be lost without you.
Thank you. Let's misbehave. Let's misbehave.
If you'd be just so sweet and only meet your fate, dear, 'twould be the great event of 1928, dear.
Let's misbehave.
That was Irving Aronson and his Commanders singing the Cole Porter hit, Let's Misbehave. I don't know anything about Irving Aronson. I sort of picture his mother in an apartment saying, Irving, get your Commanders out of the living room. Come on, we're having dinner in a few minutes. Anyway, that was Irving Aronson. Before that was Ruth Edding singing You're the Cream in My Coffee. Cole Porter wrote Let's Misbehave for the 1928 show Paris, which was his first Broadway success. He had a failure at the end of the teens and went to Paris, where, as Noel Coward might have said, he got blind on Dubonian gin all through the Depression, living in the south of France and in Paris, and returned in the late 20s and took Broadway by storm. Hello, I'm Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM, WPPB, Peconic Public Broadcasting. We're celebrating the era of Prohibition. Always fun to do that, to live in that world of giggle water and sin and great music and flappers and corrupt politicians in the roaring 20s. We have an event coming up, which I think has a lot to do with Prohibition, which encores that great series at City Center, is reviving Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, that Prohibition show, written by Julie Stein and Leo Robin, from May 9th to May 13th. I do a pre-show seminar before every dress rehearsal. It'll be on May 8th, where we're going to be talking about Anita Loos and Paulette Goddard, the inspirations for Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. And that's for members only, but if you're interested in tickets for that event or to become a member of City Center, you might check out nycitycenter.org, nycitycenter.org, and look into membership. It's a great organization, and I'd love to see more of you in the city. Okay, so let's turn to Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. One of the most famous songs from that are Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. And great score by Julie Stein. Leo Robin was more of a Hollywood lyricist, but boy, does he knock some out of the park in this particular show. So I could play Carol Channing, but I'm really enamored with Marilyn Monroe's version. So let's do a Marilyn Monroe doubleheader. If anybody sort of embodied ex post facto, the flapper of the 1920s with her carefree sexuality and modern ideas, it was Marilyn Monroe. So first let's hear Marilyn Monroe from the film of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
The French are glad to die for love. They delight in fighting duels. But I prefer a man who lives and gives expensive jewels. A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat or help you at the automat. Men grow cold as girls grow old, and we all lose our charms in the end. But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Tiffany's, Cartier, Black Star, Ross Gorham. Talk to me, Harry Winston, tell me all about it. There may come a time when a lass needs a lawyer, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. There may come a time when a hard-boiled employer thinks you're awful nice, but get that ice or else no dice. He's your guy when stocks are high, but beware when they start to descend. It's then that those louses go back to their spouses. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. I've heard of affairs that are strictly platonic, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. And I think affairs that you must keep Masonic are better bets. If little fets get big baguettes, time rolls on and youth is gone, and you can't straighten up when you bend. But stiff back or stiff knees, you stand straight as Tiffany's diamonds. Diamonds. I don't mean rhinestones, but diamonds are a girl's best, best friend.
Marilyn Monroe, of course, from Some Like It Hot. that great film about prohibition gangsters and musical transvestites. I don't know about you, but even if she weren't the most beautifully sexually attractive woman of the 20th century, don't you think Marilyn Monroe would have been a very good jazz singer on her own? I think so, too. I think she had a lot of talent. And interestingly, she was a lot more disciplined in the recording studio than she was in the film studio. Some Like It Hot was, of course, made into a musical, Sugar, which I played some tracks from in other shows. I think we'll skip that one today because we're going to go a little further with this idea of organized crime. Now, the prohibition of alcohol led to the rise of organized crime in New York and, of course, in Chicago. And organized crime doesn't mean you have, like, a good secretary and an eye calendar. It meant you had ties to the local and civic governments that were you were bribing and giving payoffs to. And the federal government had to fight this corruption and prohibition with some undercover work. And maybe the most famous pair of undercover officials during prohibition were Izzy and Moe. You may remember them from a TV, from the news or from reality, or even from a TV movie with Jackie Gleason and Art Carney in the 70s about them. I remember on the Hollywood Squares, there was a question that Peter Marshall asked Paul Lynde. He said, "Paul, recently, Jackie Gleason and Art Carney were seen in New York City dressed as women. True or false?" And Paul Lynde said, "Were any other names mentioned?" Of course, Art Carney and Jackie Gleason were in women's clothes as part of that movie. At any rate, there was a musical about Izzy and Moe called Nowhere to Go But Up, directed by that great musical comedy director Sidney Lumet. I'm afraid it met with ill success. It ran about a week. But it had a nice score. It had Tom Bosley and Martin Balsam. Go figure why you picked them to head a musical comedy. It had music by Saul Berkowitz, not the Saul Berkowitz, but it had lyrics by the East End's own James Lipton. Yes, the same James Lipton from Inside the Actor's Studio is an accomplished lyricist. There was no time to make a cast album, but Carmen McRae sang, I think, a very clever song from Nowhere to Go But Up, and here it is.
For you, baby, baby. Girls, a few words need but two words. No more stalling, you're the nuts. No ifs or ands or buts. So, baby, baby, I do. Would I, can I, could I? Don't I show it, don't you know it? No more stalling, you're the nuts. No ifs or ands or buts. So baby, 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 baby.
Here's a trivia question. What New York City mayor was also a lyricist? Well, if you guessed Rudolph Giuliani wrote the Cell Block Tango. That's clever, but you're wrong. It was James, Gentleman Jimmy Walker, the raffish, semi-corrupt, always charming, always dramatic mayor of New York in the 1920s. He wrote lyrics to a lovely song called Will You Love Me in December as You Do in May. So it was only natural that eventually the Broadway musical would vivify this character. In fact, the Ziegfeld Follies of 1927 had Jimmy Walker as a character on stage in a song sung by Eddie Cantor. But in a more elaborate narrative version, he appears as Fiorello. He doesn't actually appear, but he's the mayor that Fiorello LaGuardia runs against and loses to. And then a few years after Fiorello in 1969, Jimmy Walker got his own musical called Jimmy. Shocking. And it was supposed to star Jack Cassidy, and it wound up starring Frank Gorshin, a very talented actor who looked just like Jimmy Walker, but he was not enough to keep the show running. So here's our Jimmy Walker trifecta. We'll hear the song he wrote, and then we'll hear Gentleman Jimmy from the musical Fiorello, and then we'll hear Frank Gorshin as Jimmy Walker sing, I think, a really charming pastiche of the song we're going to hear first. Will You Love Me in December as You Did in May, sung by the charming Joan Morris, accompanied by William Balcom.
Now in the summer of life, sweetheart, you say you love but me. I give all my heart to you, throbbing with ecstasy. But last night I saw, while dreaming, the future old and gray, and I wondered if you love me then. Thank you.
let live, love and let love. There are no finer sentiments than those. Live and let live, love and let love. That's what Jimmy tells the world where'er he goes. In London, in Paris, Bermuda and Rome, they love him just like we do at home. Oh, that genial gentleman in the silk hat, gray spats, striped pants, why that's gotta be him, a gentleman Jimmy. Who's that swell celebrity with the glad hand, quick wit, New York's favorite, that'll be him, a gentleman Jimmy. Say Jim, we promise on voting day we will love you in November as we do in May. Hey, that dapper, happy-go-lucky son of Broadway, we love James J. Walker. Fred Astaire, he's the man who kept the subway to a fast and fair. So there, oh, who's that dapper, happy-go-lucky son of Broadway? We love James J. 'Cause under him, Manhattan is just a sin. Oh, nymph for generous gentleman, James J.
Will you think of me tomorrow as you think of me today? Will the love light still be shining in your eyes? Will you keep the ties that bind us, or will you be led astray? Will you think of me tomorrow as you do today?
Jimmy Walker had a mistress, although he was married, named Betty Comptin. And Betty Comptin was in that 1926 musical O.K., which has been ransacked on Broadway as Nice Work If You Can Get It, starring Matthew Broderick, who occasionally rouses himself from his torpor to sing a song and do a dance or two. But let's go back to that original score. Here's a song from it that was very famous called Someone to Watch Over Me. And we have the incandescent, unforgettable Mary Clear Harron to sing it for us, accompanied by Richard Rodney Bennett.
There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone. Over me, I'm a little lamb who's lost in the wood. I know I could always be good to be the man. some girls think of as handsome. To my heart, he'll carry the key. Won't you tell him, please, to put on some speed? Follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone to watch over me. There's a saying old says that love is blind, but still we're often told, seek and ye shall find. So I'm gonna seek a certain lad I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet, but he's the big affair I cannot forget. Only man I'll ever think of with regret. I'd like to add his initial to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb?
On Broadway to Main Street today, we looked at the phenomenon of Prohibition. Of course, it couldn't last long, and it didn't. Roosevelt came into office in 1932 under the banner of repeal, and by December of 1933, the beer taps and the scotch bottles and the wine bottles opened up again. I don't know of a particular song about that, but certainly here's a way to usher in the Roosevelt administration with Judy Garland and Barbara Streisand in a great, great, unforgettable duet.
Thank you. your trouble.
Happy days.
Come on, get happy.
I hear again the skies.
All our cares
above are clear.
Again. Shout hallelujah.
So let's sing a song.
Come on, get happy.
Cheer again.
Get ready.
Happy days
I
hear again.
The sun is shining.
Together.
Come on, get happy.
Shout it now.
Love
there's no
is waiting
one
to take your
who
hand.
Can tout it now.
Shout hallelujah.
So let's tell the world
and just get happy
about it now.
We're
happy days are here again.
We're heading across a river. Soon your cares will all be gone.
There'll be no more from now on.
From now on.
Forget the trials and just get happy.
I hear again.
You better change
the sky.
The time all gone to. This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.